Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's very cold here in Tennessee and going to get colder tonight. We're going to get down into the 20s. I don't know what it's like where you're at, but it sure looks like old winter is upon us, doesn't it? Before we get started with worship this morning, I want to talk to you guys about a few things. One is, thank you guys for praying for me from a tooth extraction I had the other day. I'm feeling much better, and thank you for praying for me on that. And thank you for praying for my daughter, who's been battling shingles, and her son that's been very sick. Thank you for praying for that. Dennis and I yesterday went to the Second Harvest Food Bank about an hour away, and we thought we was going to go to a location where they was actually handing out food to the poor, you know, so we brought our Bible and we was going to minister to people, you know. But when we got there, we realized, oh, this is just a warehouse that is one of the main distribution centers for the west of Tennessee. It's the location that, you know, gives the food to all of the churches and different organizations across the west. So it was neat, you know, to see how they do that. And we help box up food, and they actually inspect food before they box it up, which is really cool. And I was like, I told them, I said, can you imagine how much money it takes to run an operation like this? I mean, the building was massive. There was so much food in there, you know, and then having to trust for all these volunteers to come in and inspect the food, because if it does not have the ingredients on it, they have to throw it away. You know, like say if something fell out of the package and you don't know what is inside it, you have to throw it away. It's really fascinating to see how they do it. And it kind of uplifts your spirit because you see that, you know, humanity, you know, everybody's pulling together to help their neighbors by donating. And then they're just kind of the distribution place to get it out. I mean, it's a massive deal. They give away clothes and household items. And there was Christmas stuff in there and Halloween stuff and stuff, you know, for like toothpaste and just normal stuff that people would need. And so I encourage you, anybody that's listening to this, you know, I believe Second Harvest Food Bank is international, but I don't know if you're in other countries. But, you know, if you're here in the United States, if you need food, this would be the place to do it. You can go to their website and find out where a local food bank is near your town where you can go pick it up. It looks like it's pretty good food. I mean, they have everything, the process, and they have vegetables. They had carrots that were so big, I just couldn't believe it. Me and Dennis just could not believe these huge carrots from some garden. I mean, we don't know where it's from, but some farm has donated tons of carrots, you know, stuff like this. So it's not just processed junk is what I'm trying to tell you. So I encourage anybody listening that if you need food or anything like that, contact the Second Harvest Food Bank. And I was also talking to them about our state, the state of Tennessee, because of the food stamp crisis with our major government, the federal government, not wanting to help the poor. Our state and the state of Tennessee has come forth with millions of dollars to help with food banks like this. And so there is help out there for people that do not have their food stamps right now. Like, say, if you know your neighbors and different people that are on food stamps that are really hurting right now, please send them over to Second Harvest Food Bank and even help them. I mean, everyone that's connected to us, you guys are researchers. That's something that is a ministry within itself. You know, if people don't know how to find benefits, you know, you can research for them and help them. Like we, you know, minister to a lot of our elderly neighbors, and that's what we do for them. We will research stuff. We will find out stuff. I've got one neighbor, I'm selling her stuff on eBay. You know, she's got some old dresses that she wants to sell, and I research stuff for them. You know, so that's something you can do for your neighbors that is ministry, is to help them in their suffering. I mean, there is resources out there. There's ministries that do things and stuff like that. So if you can at least, you know, gear your neighbors in the right direction and point them in the right direction. So I'm telling you today that Second Harvest Food Bank is a great resource for your neighbors that need food, or even if you need food, okay, and even if you want to volunteer, I encourage all of you guys, because our country is in such dire straits right now, to get out there and volunteer. I'm not asking you to be a part of a riot or anything crazy, but loving your neighbors, which is scriptural. So go out there and volunteer, you know, just help. This is a great time for the real church, come on now, for us to step forth. Because remember, the other doesn't like suffering. You know, Jesus, we're going to suffer. So we need to see them in their suffering. That's one thing about being homeless and people that are hurting out there. They know that when you come, you can't solve all their problems. But here's what they want to know. They want to know, do you see me? Because a lot of the people that don't like suffering, or they think they're better than other people, or have a lot of pride, don't see them. They dismiss them. They don't have compassion for their suffering, you know, and they just want to know. That's why it's really good when you can go minister to the homeless and the nursing home. They just want you to touch them, just hug them, just be there and have compassion, you know. So I really encourage you guys, because I believe from the bottom of my heart that this attack that's happening in our country right now is against Christianity with our holidays, because these are Christian holidays coming up. Thanksgiving is a time where families, you know, stop their worldliness and come together and fellowship around the dinner table, and they sit around and families come in from all over the country, which the beast is also punishing people right now with that as well. They're already telling everybody that your travel this year is going to be terrible. You know, we're going to, you know, they're doing all this stuff to make it hard on Christians. And I just want you guys to see that that is what is happening. And so by stopping them from accessing food at Thanksgiving is one of the most cruelest things. And the church is not even speaking up for the poor. It's just, it's so sad. And so, but this is our opportunity, okay? This problem is producing an opportunity for us. Let's step out and really just love people and give them access to things. If you cannot provide it because of your financial strappings, okay, you can point them in the right direction. Maybe put together a flyer, you know, that has local resources for people, or even contact some, you know, one of your main offices and find out, do you have a flyer that has all of the benefits, or some type of brochure that has benefits for people, you know, resources, and then take that to your neighbors and then tell them, I will even help you make phone calls, you know, and then just at least help them get to the resources. Some people don't even have a car right now, you know, and you can help them and drive them to get their resources. I am just truly, truly encouraging you guys this morning. This is your time. We've been talking about this. We've been praying about this. We've been knowing that this is going to be your time when... See, I've been noticing that on YouTube, they've been coming out and they've been promoting it to me, which I know is a, you know, a farce. They are making videos to show people who deserves help and who does not scripturally. So they're like, and at first I fell for it. You know, I thought that's true because God does want to minister to people. We don't want to be enablers. We want to, you know, make sure that if they've been handed over to Satan because of their pride, that, you know, their work needs to be completed. You know, they don't need help in their suffering. You know, that's the way they're wanting you to think. But then after I watched that video, then there was another one, the same type of deal on another channel. So I thought, huh. They're going to make all these videos telling everybody, don't you go out there and help all these people that are hurting. They deserve to suffer. You know, and if you think about the way that NAR believes, which is in my books, okay, they do not believe in suffering. They believe if you're suffering, you are immature in your beliefs. You don't have enough faith. It's your fault. And so we know this is not true. There's a lot of other variables at play here when people are suffering, okay? And the main point is we are not the judge. We're not the judge of these people while they're suffering. We're just going to be Jesus, okay? So we're going to step up to the plate and go out there and help people. If we don't have the money, there's so much other things we can do. You know, don't let the money hold you back. Don't let your age hold you back from loving other people and from helping other people. You know, that when I was homeless, it didn't hold me back. I walked 5 miles to church. I did what I had to do. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There's no excuse. There's always a way to volunteer and to help others. Okay? So I'm really encouraging you guys in that this morning. This is our opportunity. We're going to help them. Now, another way, here's another resource for you guys. I gave you one already, which is the Second Harvest Food Bank for food. I hope y'all are writing this stuff down. Okay, so the next resource I'm going to give you is Amazon. Amazon is offering to where you can buy a meal for Thanksgiving for another family for $25. That is so cheap. They will get a frozen turkey plus the sides plus a sweet. They'll get like a pie. You get to pick what kind of pie they want. And then they will ship it to their house for Thanksgiving. Isn't that awesome? So that's another way that you can minister to them. Now, another way is I am closing out all my books. I am selling all my books at cost. So if you want any of my books to bless people, there you can get them for $10. That is including shipping, which costs about $5 and something to ship. So that is an option as well. So I just really want to encourage you guys to be thinking about this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, stepping up and just giving more. And that's of your heart and of your mind and of your hands and your love, you know, and considering your neighbors. If you haven't been to visit your neighbors, go visit them. Get to know them, you know. Okay, so that's all I have as far as my encouraging word this morning. And y'all know, you know, from watching my news, the terrible things that are happening out there with the lies and deception and everything. And I think everybody's learned by now that we have to walk softly around people. We can't just hammer them anymore. Like, you know, when this all first started back in 2020, everybody was hammering everybody. You got to see, you know, like shaking them, like, can't you see what's happening? Wake up out there. But now it's been almost 6 years. These people have made up their mind by now. And what we see now what the government's doing, you know, they are keeping everybody living and looking to where they can still work and function. So while they're changing everything right under their nose. So these people don't care as long as they get to have their cable TV and their cell phones. You see what I mean? But you have learned to back off and walk softly and just give them to the Lord and just get ready for, you know, the impact to hit. And that's what this ministry has been such a blessing for, is to help everybody. And a lot of you are in other ministries, like Darlene is in a really good church that I trust. I've vetted. I mean, not that I have to vet, but I've looked into them and I highly respect them. I mean, if I lived there, I would go there. You know, you know, it's such a blessing when y'all can find a church where you can love on people and get involved. And we do encourage that. That's why we do church at 7:30 on Sunday mornings. It is intentional, so that you can find a local church that you can touch people and love people. And, you know, we want to work with the body. You know what I mean? Okay, so I've got a couple of songs that I want to sing this morning before Pastor comes on, because he does have an awesome word for you guys today. Okay, this first one is called God Is So Good. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness this morning, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have prepared all of your people, Lord, to be the church right now when the beast is just growling at them. And Lord, that we can just step up and come out of into the darkness, Lord, and we're full of light. And we can be Jesus to these people, Lord. We can love on them. We can, if they have questions, we have the answers. We can tell them what we know if they ask. But if not, we just love them like Jesus. And bless them. And Lord, we just thank you for opening doors for all of these people to have places they can go and to gather information in their local towns about ways to help people finding ministries and different ways for people to get help with food and lights and things like that. Lord, provisions that they can help others with research and which they're all good at, Lord. So I just thank you for helping us, Lord, to step up to the plate right now when humanity needs us, Lord, to show Jesus, because we know that the door to the ark is about to close globally, and there will be no more time to love people like this. There'll be no more time to go out and be able to hug people and be able to show them that Jesus is still alive. He's real. He is there for them right now. Lord, I just thank you for empowering them, Lord, to go out and to be the change and to be the church and to show your love and to be the light out there, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that through these holidays, Lord, that as they give of their time and their love and their resources and their heart, that you're just going to bless them tremendously, Lord. And I just thank you for being with us this morning as we sing and worship this morning, Lord. I thank you that your word says that when two or more are together, that you're there. And we are gathered together, Lord, in your name this morning. We do worship and praise your holy name, Lord. You are the bond that holds us together. You're the glue. And we just thank you, Lord. So anoint this worship service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. God answers prayer, God answers God answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I'll do his will. Isn't this beautiful? I'll do his will. I'll do his will. He's so good to me. Last one. I praise his name. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to I've never heard all them verses. That's pretty cool. Okay, here's the next one. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. All right, let's go ahead and open up the floor to Pastor. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. You sound great. You've got the floor.
Okay, thank you for that song. And that last verse, this is our story. This is our song. And all I can say is amen to that. You know, we each have a story, and just that verse alone almost is kind of going along with this message almost. I mean, we all have a story, And, you know, it's just, I guess I'll just let it at that. But anyway, thank you, Mama, for them songs. And yes, we went up to that place, that big warehouse this weekend, and we were kind of in awe of what it was. You know, we didn't know it was the warehouse where they actually distribute, you know, to different places. And it was really neat. It was very clean. The people there were very nice. I mean, good Christian people. This big center was run by one young gal, and it's like, wow, how do you do all this, you know? And she had a couple of good helpers that were with her for quite some time now. I think she said the place has been open for 10 years. And so, yes, you know, like June said, you know, go out and try and support these kind of places too, you know. And if you need to, you know, get food from there, don't, you know, feel shy, you know, because that's what it's for. And the young, this elderly couple right up the street from us, you know, they, that's where they're getting their help from, you know, their assistance from, which is coming out from one of the local churches here. So this place, you know, is giving them, you know, these products or whatever, this stuff. So it's pretty, really a good thing. So encourage people to do that. I better just get into this message. And I come across this one verse and I thought, wow, that is a, never seen that verse before. And you know, when I first read it, you know, I was thinking about it this way, but after reading and, you know, going through other scriptures and all that, you know, I've got, if you could see my paper here, you would be, I mean, I got little footnotes and different things all across my paper, and I got little other footnotes on paper, and, you know, because it just took me to so many places. So I'm gonna, if I jump around a little bit, I'm sorry, but bear with me. I'm going to give some scriptures also that tie into some of the other scriptures that I give, which I won't read, but, you know, I'm encouraging people to go read those scriptures to get a grasp the great context of this whole message and what I want to talk about here. And it's pretty good, I think. I've been doing a lot of thinking on it too, that's for sure. And so, and I'm going to give some definitions of some words from my Bible dictionary too, which, you know, I encourage people to get a Bible dictionary. I don't know what I would do without mine, you know, because it just, the word, you'll see when I read some words, it's just awesome. Because you don't really, you think you know what the word means, but when you look it up in your Bible dictionary and it gives you the different scriptures about that word, you know, it can take you to a lot of different, wow, little different meanings, you know, that, you know, and like I got written down, I guess, on this other page, you know, more word, more power. You know, you think you know what that word means, but look it up and it gives you another word that means that word, which takes you to another scripture that gives you a different context. And then you're getting a much bigger picture of that scripture and the context, and just, you know, more word, more power. And I believe with all my heart, you know, what's the Bible say? Study to show yourself approved. That then you take these scriptures and these, you know, stuff, and then you pray them for yourself or other people. And I believe it's a better, a bigger blessing. You know, God looks down upon you and says, wow, look, you know, and Jesus is our advocate and says, Father, look at them, you know, wow, look at them, they're really digging in, you know. So I believe that to be true. You know, there's better blessings with more word. So anyway, let's turn to Luke chapter 7, you know, and I guess we're titling this message Wisdom's Children. And my main verse is Luke 7:35, and also you could go to Matthew 11:19, and you know they both are the same, although Matthew puts a couple of different verses into one verse to where Luke doesn't. So but those are two main scriptures about this that put it together. And it says, but wisdom is justified of all her children. That's Luke 7:35. And this is about John the Baptist. You know, he's asking about Jesus. So I just want to go back to verse 19. And I just want to read this so we can get a little more of a context. And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look, we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us into thee, saying, thou art he that should come. Or look, we for another? So they're like, do we have to, you know, are you the right guy? Are you the Messiah? Are you, you know, or do we have to go look for somebody else? And in the same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Wow. So Jesus is going around, you know, and he's curing their infirmities, you know, their sicknesses and their diseases, and, you know, delivering them from evil spirits. Then Jesus, you know, I mean, how obvious that he's, you know, he's somebody pretty darn special, eh? And Jesus answered, said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Wow, I want to stop there on that verse and read that again. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended of me. You know, who's not doubtful that Jesus is who he says he is. You know, they're seeing all these signs and miracles that Jesus is doing. And he's like, wow, you're blessed, if, you know, if you're not offended at what I'm doing. And that verse will take us back down to that verse 35 in verse 24. And when the messages of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. He's talking about John the Baptist. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Wow. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Then you got them darn Pharisees and lawyers and them. They always got to be hanging around, don't they? And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children, sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. And we have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. You know, and when it says that we have piped unto you, I got a footnote here in my Bible, says playing wedding music. And then it's interesting, and it says, mourned to you, and ye have not wept. It's playing funeral music. Wow, life and death almost. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And ye say, he hath a devil? The Son of Man is coming eating and drinking. And ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. You know, Jesus is, in this one verse, he's addressing the rejection of the Pharisees and the lawgivers in regard to John the Baptist and himself. They're downplaying what Jesus and John has been doing. But results show proof. You know, hey, look. Can't you see? You know, you got blind eyes and ears that can't hear. You know, we are to check out the proof, you know, and examine the lives of wisdom's children. You know, wisdom will not be proven right by his, wisdom will be proven out right by his followers. You know, Jesus and John, you know, look, you know, the children, you know, they've got wisdom. They ain't dumb. They can see. But you Pharisees and lawgivers, you know, you can't see nothing. You know, wisdom, skill, aptitude, expertise, deep understanding and insight are divinely bestowed gifts. You know, having them in the author, who, of course, is the source of all wisdom. But it's interesting, when I was reading this, that word aptitude, wisdom, skill, aptitude, you know, that word means natural tendency, ability, capacity to readiness in learning, quickness to understand, you know. This is what the lives of children, you know, wisdom's children, you know, they've got this natural tendency and ability. They want to learn, you know, they don't want to sit back here like these, you know, Pharisees and lawgivers. No, they want to learn the truth of the matter. Amen. You know, Paul, you know, Paul tells us in Colossians 2, let's turn to Colossians 2. Oops, one more page here. In Colossians 2, verses 1-3, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness, full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's some other scriptures I'm not going to read right now, but if you want to take a note of them, it's Colossians 3, verses 14 through 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and Philippians 3, verses 7 through 21. Those are some good reference scriptures to what I just read. I want to touch on this word knowledge and wisdom. You know, and when I was doing this, this is kind of just in short my definition, kind of what I'm seeing here. Knowledge is understanding, capable of expectation of, able to learn truth, all that is known or can be learned. And so what I want to do is I want to turn again the Old Faithful Bible Dictionary, and this is what it says about knowledge. And I'll, in a minute here, I'll tell you why I'm wanting to do this word knowledge. The expression to know sometimes means to approve or to take delight in. Psalms 1 through 6. Psalm 1, verse 6. Romans 8, 29. To cherish. John 10, 27. To experience. Ephesians 3:19. In Job 7:10, it is used of an intimate object, you know, knowledge. You know, knowledge to me is God's word. It's spiritual. He should return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. You know, to know frequently denotes, by euphemism, to know frequently denotes sexual intercourse. Genesis 4:1. Knowledge may be partial. 1 Corinthians 13:9. It implies discovery, detection, as through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. Knowledge is spoken of as an emblematic person. And as a gift of God. Amen. Boy, Proverbs 1:29, Proverbs 8:10. And Lord, I just want to pray that right now. Lord, we just thank you for knowledge, you know, that it is a gift from God. And Lord, your word is knowledge. And we just thank you that you would give us understanding of your word. Amen. Knowledge may be perverted and thus becoming a medium of evil. And boy, Isaiah 47:10, Romans 1:28, 1 Corinthians 8:1. And can we not see that today? How knowledge is so, you know, how God's word is so perverted, you know, half truths, and then the part that is true, they're twisting it. You know, and I could give some examples but I'm going to let that one go. Respecting is just my feelings, my personal belief. Respecting divine knowledge. And then it says, see omniscience. And so what I want to do is I'm turning to my, in my Bible dictionary, to that word. It's, and these, when you get to this word, And I copied it down on paper here also. I don't know if I'm exactly pronouncing this word, omniscience. It's the divine attribute of perfect knowledge. This is declared in Psalm 33, 13, 15. Actually, I'm going to skip through a lot of this because there's a whole bunch of scriptures here, but in many other places. The perfect knowledge of God is exclusively His attribute. And what's an attribute? It's the qualities, the characteristics that belong to God alone. I mean, this is a biblical definition, okay? An inherent essential quality or characteristic of God's divine nature as revealed in Scripture. You know, the perfect knowledge of God is exclusively His attribute. It relates to Himself and to all beyond Himself. It includes all things that are actual and all things that are possible. Its possession is incomprehensible to us, and yet it is necessary for our faith in the perfection of God's sovereignty. And that's another big word, which I'm not going to get into today, but it's, you know, His, you know, God's power, He's power over everything. The revelation of this divine property, like that of others, is well calculated to fill us with profound reverence. And I just want to stop there, and it's like, wow, you know, we should just, you know, be in awe of God's, you know, His divine attribute of perfect knowledge. I mean, He knows everything, and it should alarm sinners and beget confidence in the hearts of God's children and deepen their consolation. And there's a bunch of scriptures, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 10 scriptures. The scriptures unequivocally declare the divine pre-essence and at the same time make the appeal to man as a free and consequently responsible being. And when I read that, I thought, wow. You know? I want to read that again. The scriptures unequivocally declare the divine pre-essence, prescience, and at the same time make their appeal to man as a free and consequently responsible being.
Pastor, can I say something real quick?
Yes.
As you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, when you said that God is the perfect knowledge, if we look at the world situation and what's happening now with AI, it's wanting to be the knowledge source.
Right.
I mean, think about the battle that's going on here, because people are building up faith, loyalty, and love to this thing.
Right. And they don't realize that even AI is perverting God's word. You know, I know I've looked up words, you know, and you know, Google something and it's under AI and I'm like reading it. I'm like, I don't know about that. You know, I have my doubts. And so I try and skip through that part of it and jump down to some other source that's given me, you know, some of their information, or, you know, what they feel that scripture is or that word is, you know. But, you know, I don't trust AI, even though, you know, it is got a lot of information, that's for sure, about anything. But God's word, You know, wisdom's children, God's children need to get all their knowledge, you know, from His word. His word is most important, and And when I was reading this and studying this, the more and more I thought, wow, you know, and I'm going to.
Well, one thing I want to say before we leave the subject that we want people in the world to know is that with AI giving the knowledge that it is, don't forget where the knowledge is coming from.
Right.
It is from the Zionist perspective and from the beast perspective. It's not what they're saying where they're gathering all the truth from all the data. That's not true.
Right.
So it is a leaning. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me say that.
Yep, that's so true. No, I'm glad you mentioned that. So this, you know, this word omniscience, you know, it's the divine attribute of perfect knowledge, you know, and we got to get that from God's word. And that's what I'm saying here, you know, that's what, as wisdom's children, as God's children, you know, we need to dig into his word. And that's why, you know, I'm reading, you know, a scripture, then I'm like, wow, you know, there's a reference, and I go to it, and pretty soon I'm making all these other little notes and, you know, looking up words, and it's, you know, that's where we need to get perfect knowledge. Although, you know, sure, Google can help and AI may help, but, you know, I trust God's word more, and, you know, and when you look into it and stuff and sit and ponder, you know, about it, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit's for. He's going to show you the truth, you know, wisdom, understanding, you know, those are spiritual beings. I, you know, they're the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And that's where we're going to get true wisdom and knowledge of, you know, for us. And that's part of this message of what I want to get out there, you know, that we have to really dig into his word. But anyway, in my Bible dictionary, here's that word. And there's two other words. It's omnipresence. And I'm not going to read that one. And then there's omnipotence, which it's the perfect. I'll just read the first thing. Exclusively an attribute of God and essential to be the perfect, the perfection of his being. You know, and they give scriptures and a little bit of stuff, you know. And it's only ascribed to, you know, our Heavenly Father. And the other one is the attribute of God alone, by which is meant that God is free from the laws and limitation of space and time. You know, it's like, wow, these are really good things. You know, it's like, wow, you know, and I'm reading them and stuff. And it's like, this is good. You know, it's just, you know, you just need to grasp the power, you know, of our Heavenly Father, you know. So anyway, I want to get away from that word. Let me double check my notes here. You know, and here on this, on the back side of this note, I wrote, we need to grasp the true meaning and power of these words. And then I wrote, more word, more power. You know, as that's the late Derek Prince would always say. I used to listen to him a lot, and he would always say that, more word, more power. So that's part of this message, you know, more word, more power. And we need that today. My next word is wisdom, you know. And I wrote down here, you know, when I was reading this and some of these scriptures and stuff, and I wrote, wisdom is its application to life, putting it to use, ways of using, thing applied. So it's like the knowledge that God's word, you know, we're applying it to life, you know, we're putting it to use, you know, in our daily life. It's in the ways of using it, you know. But I want to turn to my Bible dictionary, and I want to read you the definition of wisdom. And again, it's all full of scriptures. For each one of these, there's scriptures. And, you know, I don't know if people want me to give all these scriptures. Otherwise, if people really want this, I could take a picture of it. Maybe June could post it on the, you know, on the website. Just let her know, and we can do that. Wisdom, Hebrew, Hokaman, has a special meaning of dexterity, skill in an art. Exodus, well, it gets four different scriptures from Exodus. It is also more generally the meaning of intelligent, sensible, judicious, endued with reason and using it. And there's more scriptures. Skillful to judge, and there's scriptures. Thus, the wisdom of Solomon is manifested in his acute judgment. Take note of that, acute judgment. You know, we are to judge sometimes, you know, certain things, and we're not going to get into that. In the verses, the sentence he composed are retained in the memory. In the scriptures for that, wisdom includes skill in civil matters, the faculty of interpreting dreams and prophesying, Daniel 5:11, as well as the art of enchantment and magic, Exodus 7:11. A higher and more enlightened wisdom is ascribed to angels. And there's a bunch of scriptures for that. Hebrew, Shekeah, to be prudent, circumspect. 1 Samuel, and there's about five scriptures for that. And that word, prudent, you know, to be prudent. What's that mean? It means to be planning carefully ahead of time, being sensible, discreet, wise, careful, cautious. Are we not to be prudent? You know, when we read God's word and we study it, and wow, how can that help us in this crazy world today? You know, we have to plan things carefully. You know, we're going to go here and see these people. You know, we need to be sensible and discreet and wise in our words, you know, dealing with people. We need to be prudent. And there's another Hebrew, Tashiaka. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing some of these words. Properly, uprightness, counsel, understanding. And there's a bunch of scriptures for it. Hebrew, Benai, understanding. The faculty of insight, intelligence. Proverbs 4:7. Understanding. But here, the faculty of insight. Is that not so important today? You know, we're hearing and seeing all these half-truths and twisted scriptures and false prophets and teachers and whatever, you know. Lord, we just thank you for a faculty of insight that we can see more clearly. We have intelligence to see, you know, this is counter to what God's word says. You know, what we're hearing out here, what we're seeing out here, it's not what God's word says. You know, it's half truth. Part of God's wisdom, understanding. The Greek terms are Sophia, broad and full intelligence. Used of knowledge of diverse matters. Ain't that what I was just talking about? So that the shade of meaning in which the word is taken must be discovered from the context in every particular case. You know, each one of us are dealing with different people, different circumstances, listening to different people and all that. You know, understanding, especially especially knowledge and holy love of the will of God. Amen. Wow. Luke 1:17, Ephesians 1:18. Occasional uses. Wisdom is put for ingenuity, mechanical dexterity, and their scriptures. Craftiness, whether good or bad, and there's a bunch of scriptures for that. The skill of arts of magicians, and there's a bunch of scriptures. Sagacity, learning, experience, more scriptures. The current pagan philosophy of the apostolic age, and there's a bunch of scriptures. So those are occasional uses of wisdom. The dominant uses, an attribute of God. There we go. Wisdom is an attribute. It's a characteristic of God, intimately related to the divine knowledge, but manifesting itself in the selection of proper ends and the proper means for their accomplishment. Thus, not only the world of nature, but especially the economy of redemption is a manifestation of divine wisdom. And there's a bunch of scriptures that reference that. Thus, the Old Testament appeal of wisdom to man is an appeal of the only wise God. That's our Heavenly Father. We just give Him all the praise and glory. And then it says, see Proverbs and Psalms. So you want to get some good, godly wisdom? Read the Psalms and Proverbs is what it's saying here. In men, wisdom is not only practical understanding of matters relating to this life, 1 Kings 3, verse 12, but the highest sense is the theoretic and practical acceptance of divine revelation. Wisdom is, in the deepest sense, a divine gift. And there's a bunch of scriptures. So we just thank the Lord right now for this divine, you know, gift that He's bestowing upon us as we read His word to get wisdom and understanding, you know, and the knowledge of His word. Amen. You know, but again, that's from my Bible dictionary, and I don't know what I'd do without it for studying. And I know we've posted this Bible before, you know, and if anybody's interested in it, we can do that again. So you can get them pretty. You might be a newer version, or you might be able to find an old version of it. I know we ordered one from my friend Gail. And I just really encourage that.
Yes, let me tell everybody, they can find these used on eBay like we did for his friend for less than $5.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't beat it.
Yeah, it's priceless for me. I mean, mine, I've got three or four other dictionaries here too, but this one is the one I always turn to. It's really, really, I really enjoy it. Next, let's turn to Romans. Well, I'll just say this. Paul gives insight in Romans 11:33 regarding the wisdom and knowledge of God. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways, past finding out. Wow. And Psalms 36:6 is the righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, who preservest man and beast. I really like that one. You know, there's so many more scriptures describing wisdom, knowledge, and judgment of God, you know. But, you know, in Mark 4, there's the parable of the sower, and there's the parable of the seed, And then in Luke 8:11, it's the seed is the word of God. And that's all, you know, those are scriptures that say to sow his word in your heart. You know, it's then you plant the seed, you know, his word. So those are some very good scriptures to read and to ponder, you know, and pray for yourself. And I want to go back up to that Luke 7:35, but wisdom is justified of all her children. And that word justified means clear of blame or guilt, showed to be just or right. And I've got a footnote here. It says, but wisdom is justified of all her children, not just this one or that one. It says all her children. And my question is, do you want to be wisdom's children? Do you want to be a child of wisdom? Because, you know, it's part of the all. So we can just put our name there. Lord, right now, we just thank you that wisdom is justified of all her children. You know, life is, you know, when I was sitting here thinking about this, I, you know, life is but a vapor. And I didn't look up that scripture, but we all know that, you know, time is short. You know, we need wisdom. And we need to be in awe of God. And again, I was sitting here when I was reading this and pondering it, you know, that was my thought. Man, we just need to be, you know, life is but a vapor, and we just need to be in awe of God. You know, I mean, wow. You know, and there's a bunch of scriptures that relate to that, you know, to be in awe of God. Psalm 33:8. Hebrews 12:28, Isaiah 6:5, Romans 11:33, Malachi 3:16, Ephesians 3:19, Jeremiah 33:3, and those are just some scriptures if you want to look up and read and talking about to be in awe of God, you know. And in John 12, let's turn to John. John 12. And we're going to start in verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believeth not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And what does he say? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so I'm taking that the words of Jesus Christ will be the standard by which judgment is made. Jesus says, if you reject him and his words, so then his word will judge you in the last day. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, and I'm not going to go there, but that's the judgment of the wicked. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, the judgment of the nations. You know, and there's more scriptures on that. I've got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's a whole bunch of them here. And it's about judgment. You know, God's, the word will be the judge. You know, you're not living by the word, you're going to be judged by the word. You know, Jesus said he has not come to judge, but it's his word that will judge. And what's his word? It's knowledge. That's why we need to be in awe of his word. And wow, you know. And I don't want to get into the various aspects of judgment, but justification. You know, because what does it say? The wisdom is justified of all her children. And justification is part of, from that justified, you might say. You know, we need to get it deep down in our whole being. You know, our spirit, our soul, and body about, you know, justification. And a footnote in my Bible, justification. Accounting the guilty just before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. And if you want a reference to that in the Old Testament, I'm not going to go there right now, but it is so good. That's Isaiah 53. Just all of Isaiah 53, especially verses 4 and 56. It is very good. It just goes right with that, you know. And when it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. And in Isaiah 53, it's talking about who that him is. It's the Lord Jesus. Another word for justification is imputation. If I'm saying that right, imputation. It's counting or crediting something to another. Okay? And that's a, I don't know. Let me just look quick. I didn't look in my dictionary, but I want to look quick and see if that word's in there. I know it's a big word in the Bible. It's yeah, here it is. Wow. Okay, imputation is one of the major doctrines of Christianity. It has produced a great deal of theological controversy. The actual word impute means to reckon over unto another's account. The case of apostles writing to Philippon concerning whatever his runaway slave Omniscience might owe him gives a perfect scripture illustration of the meaning of the word. Put that on my account. Philippians 1:18. Three major imputations are expounded in scripture. And I tell you that they get into a whole bunch about that word. I mean, there's a whole page here about it. So, you know, it's the Adam sin to the race, over sin of the human race to Christ, of the righteousness of God to that believer, So it's another one of them big words that has a lot of meaning, like justification. 2 Corinthians 5, and again, I'm not going to go there and read it, but make note of that one. It's about the ministers of reconciliation, especially verses 17 through 21. You know, we are called to be ministers of reconciliation, to reconcile people back to our Heavenly Father, and that's what Christ did. You know, Colossians 1, verses 18 through 22, it's the church, it's the body, is head, and its head is Jesus Christ. Reconciliation in Christ, verses 20 through 22, you know, we're, you know, all that he has for us has been imputed to us. You know, we've been justified. And the last thing here is Romans. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. And actually, Romans chapter 4 and chapter 5, it's about Abraham's justification, the promise realized through faith. That's in chapter 4. And then in chapter 5 is about the results of justification, you know, the right standing with God through Jesus. And in the fact that Christ died for you and me. Amen. And then the last part of chapter 5 is about how sin entered into the world. You know, sin through Adam, and salvation what? Through Christ. And I want to read, I was going to read all chapter 4, but I'm just going to read chapter 5 here. It's short. Therefore, being justified, this is Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And that word, the hope of the glory of God. And to me, that word, and I had to look it up in my Bible dictionary this morning, and I've always said, you know, to me that word, you know, it's the all-surpassing knowledge of God. You know, we can't even fathom the awesomeness of God, his glory. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I'm going to stop right now. And Lord, I just want to pray for each one here, Lord, that our hope is so grounded in you, in your word, and in wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that we are not ashamed. We will not be ashamed of the things that are coming, going to be coming against us, Lord. We all here kind of got people, family, friends that, you know, don't want nothing to do with this. They reject what we say, what we see, you know, for such a time as this, Lord. So we're not going to be ashamed of the truth of the matter. And so, Lord, we hope that we would not be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. And verse 6. And this is about this next one. 6 verses is the fact that Christ died for you and me. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, you know, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that we, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, thank you, Father. For much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Christ. Hallelujah. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. And not only so, but also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The what? The reconciliation. Reconciled back to the Father through what Jesus did at Calvary. Amen. We need to get that in our hearts. That's part of our testimony. Wow, what Jesus did on that cross for us. Wow. Amen. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. You know, there's no account kept when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Who is that? Jesus, the second Adam. But not as an offense, so also is the free gift. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, but much more the grace of God and the perfect gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Unto who? Unto many. Not just the Jews, or not just the Gentiles, or not just the Chinese, or you know, the whatever. No, it's to many. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justifications. And 1 Corinthians 11:32 is footnote there. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that gift of grace and righteousness. Amen. Through Jesus. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. By the act of righteousness, yes. For as by one man disobedience, many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, that one, Jesus Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You know, wisdom is vindicated by all her children. You know, to be cleared from blame or suspicion, or to have one's actions or decisions proven correct after being doubted, wisdom's children, yeah. And I want to go going back to that Luke 7:35, Matthew 11:19. Wisdom is justified means that wisdom is proven to be right and true, and the proof comes from the people who are children, are followers of wisdom. Of what? By the Holy Spirit, you know. The children of wisdom are those who accept and live by God's wisdom, regardless of the specific style of the messenger, you know. And that's what, you know, going back to Luke, you know, John the Baptist was the messenger. Jesus was the messenger. But children of wisdom, I mean, look at their lives. Look what, you know, examine their lives. It proves that the word of God, the message from Jesus, the message from John the Baptist was true. It was, you know, it's justified. Regardless of the style of the messenger, you know, John the Baptist, the way he had the message, the way Jesus had the message, you know, their lives demonstrate the truth of that wisdom of the word of God, you know, to be proven right, justified, or cleared from accusation, often through the divine act of justice or righteousness. You know, it signifies God showing his people are right. Exemplified by Jesus' resurrection as the ultimate vindication of his divine nature. And also found in instances where God delivers his people from oppression or unjust, you know, unfair judgment. And that's kind of what I guess how I'm going to end this, you know, in that, you know, God delivers his people from oppression or unfair judgment. You know, we just got to stand, you know, calm, cool, and collected, you know, because we know persecution is coming. It's already here. It's already started, you know. And that's why we have to be, you know, in all God's word, you know, and have his word in us and know that, you know, whatever anybody else comes and throws at you, like they did John the Baptist, like they did Jesus, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these lawgivers, you know, this is just like today. They're coming at us just like they did John the Baptist, just like they did Jesus. But, you know, they had wisdom. They had, you know, they had the Holy Spirit directing their path, vindicating them. Amen. So I guess that's kind of all I have to say about that. Read those scriptures, dig into it a little more on your own and ponder it. And, you know, we'll let God's word vindicate us. You know, amen. Hope everybody will have a great day.
Yes, that is really great. You know, let God be the vindication for us. And Pastor, that was such an awesome sermon. I mean, we are wisdom's children. Because as I was taking notes on the website about what you were saying, This is basically what you're saying in one sentence. When we get saved, we get saved. We give our life to the Lord. And then from that point, we seek wisdom. We're now wisdom's children. You know, we seek her. It talks about her like she's a woman, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I told you guys, there is that woman on YouTube that swears that is the mother of Jesus, the woman. There is a God the Father, the woman is the wisdom, and then Jesus is the Son. You know what I mean? I mean, it would make sense that it's a family unit as one, that the Holy Spirit's really a woman. Anyway, we're not going down that road, but the point is that when we get saved, you know, we are, you know, in a search for true wisdom, and that's what's going to get us through. That was such a good sermon. All the notes are on the website. Also, the resources that I told you about how to help your neighbors is on the website as well. And then I'm also going to make a blog to encourage everyone on how to find the resources in your community. Basically, to be the church, love them, touch them, pray for them, research for them, hug them, be Jesus, and leave the judging to God.
Amen.
So we encourage all of you guys, this is our finest hour. You know, we're going to go out of here shouting for Jesus, you know. And the Lord's going to use us in this hour. So don't negate the fact that God wants to use your hands to bring miracles to people. You know, he needs people to believe him for great things, for miracles and healings and, you know, stuff like that. This is what we're going to do, is allow him, Lord, whatever you want to do with these hands, do it, you know. So if everybody would just bow their heads, we're going to pray. And we'll open up the prayer line afterwards for any of you guys in the ministry. I know some of them, Pastor, had to get off already to go to church. But that's okay, to their other church. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for Pastor, Lord, giving us this word about wisdom today, Lord. Help us to see in our heart that our passion for is true wisdom, Lord, and that we would ask. Your word says if we ask, we will receive.
Amen. Thank you.
So, Lord, we just thank you that we have that source to go to. You are worthy to be praised today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, yes.